You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know. But after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what was the horrid noise that a group of high school students heard late at night? Could it have been a banshee?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com as well. Share your stories with us that way. If you're new to the program, finding us in the month of October, well, welcome. This thing goes on year-round, so you don't have to think, oh, it's just October ghost stories. Nope, we do this thing all year, so be sure to press subscribe, and you won't miss any of the episodes, and I'm sure you'd love the EPP episodes, too, once you really get into it. Like I said, you can support the show and get access to all that stuff. Go over to ghostpodcast.com, or if you prefer, Patreon, all the same content there, too. Patreon.com/realghoststories. Get a brand new bonus episode every week exclusively for our extra podcast people, EPPs as we call them. You also get access to our archive. You get advanced episodes of the show ad-free. You get our ebook, our audiobook, and a whole bunch of other stuff too. Even get a month free when you sign up for an annual membership at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. The two places to go to sign up and support the program. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am doing well. You're doing well?
No.
Do you want to share your story?
I got thrown from a horse this weekend.
You did tweet about it.
I did. I didn't tweet.
Facebooked or Insta'd or...
I did Insta and I think I did Facebook. I don't know if I did Facebook, yeah. But I did Insta. And thank you for all the well wishes of fast recovery. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You're going to the doctor today, so that's good.
Yeah, get some x-rays because things are not getting better.
Yeah. So that's been fun.
Yeah.
But there's an interesting horse story.
Yeah,
there is. Involved that almost kind of feels like, as chaotic as it's been with the horse that we've got, it almost kind of feels like one of those meant to be. Oh, okay. You don't really know why it's going on, when it's going on, but then finally you kind of get an answer, as things play out of like, maybe this is why this all kind of happened. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you want to share that story?
Sure.
It's up to you. We can share it a little bit later into the show.
Will you help share it? Because it's hard for me to talk.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'll help share it. Definitely. It's interesting. And it doesn't have ghostly elements, but it certainly has, I would say, supernatural elements of just like, this is very weird how this all kind of comes together.
I don't believe in coincidences. So this would be one of those things that's not a coincidence, but I don't know what to call it.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that in a little bit later on in the show. Also, this will probably be on tomorrow's episode. Me and the girls saw a ghost this weekend and caught it on camera. So we'll talk more about that on the next episode of the program. You may have already seen it on Facebook. We're recording this at the beginning of October. This is airing midway towards the end of October. So if you're looking for some of the stuff on our social media that we're talking about, you got to scroll back a little bit on Instagram or Facebook. Let's jump over to our first letter of the day. It says, my name is Jennifer. This happened back in the 90s. My high school boyfriend was Irish, and like most teens, we'd go for drives and find somewhere to hang out and talk and make out. I was driving that night, and we stopped somewhere to park. It felt creepy, but I did not say anything. There was uncomfortable energy there. It was probably just my imagination at that point. After a short time sitting there and talking, I heard voices, but no one was around. A chill went through my whole body as I vibrated with fear. My first thought was, am I schizophrenic now? But immediately after that, my boyfriend said harshly, there aren't any voices. I don't hear any voices. Oh no, I not said anything about the voices. What was happening? We then heard a wailing scream that sounded like what you would imagine a banshee would sound like. And I happened to look at my odometer. Last three digits were 666. Holy shit. Of course, we got out of there as quickly as we could. We're not that religious, but it did scare us. I think he even got his mom's rosary out when we got back to his house because he was so scared. I'm not sure if this is common knowledge, but it is believed that banshees follow certain Irish families to warn them of danger. I did not know if we heard evil spirits or ghosts, but it was scary, and we heard a wail that sounded like a banshee. Today, I still get really freaked out if my odometer is at the 666 mark, but tell myself not to be silly. I'm glad he was there to confirm what I heard, so I did not think I was having audible hallucinations. This story happens to my older brother. My brother says he does not believe in ghosts, but he told me the story one day that I could not tell, made him question himself. He and his girlfriend at the time, well, let's pause there because I sometimes these stories jump around and we don't end up addressing the whole thing, but let's address the first part of the story.
I want to talk about banshees.
Okay.
And I don't know about you, but in my household, which we have a Scottish and Irish ancestry, mm-hmm. my household, my parents would complain about us screaming like banshees.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know, is that something that everybody is told when they're kids, you know, like, stop, you're screaming like a banshee.
I knew the term, but it was not one that was ever like used in our house. Like, stop screaming like a banshee the way you're describing it.
Okay. Cause I heard about that all my life. So,
okay.
But I didn't actually know what a banshee was until we started doing the show.
Okay.
So I just thought, okay, that just meant screaming like, I don't know.
I guess in my mind, I always pictured like some scary old ghostly woman. Is what I associated banshee to be. And I don't know why, but that's just what my mind conjured up.
Okay. That's not what I thought it was. And I don't want to say what I thought it was because it's offensive. So I just will say that. I will tell you after the show.
Okay.
But I am, you know, anything went in my household as a kid. So I always heard the term, but I didn't know what it was. But I think it's fascinating that it has... a connection to Irish, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know.
Folklore.
Folklore.
Yeah.
So that I think is kind of cool. And it's scary sound. So yeah, it would probably make me take off from whatever if mm-hmm. it's there to kind of warn you.
Sure.
It would work for me.
It would certainly work. What's interesting, and it's hard to say if that part of the story, if it was in fact something paranormal or just one of the many, many, many bizarre noises animals can make in the woods at night.
Sure.
Having now lived in wooded areas in at least two of our homes, there's some crazy shit sounds that these animals can make. and you're like, what the heck? And then you do a little research like, oh my God, I had no idea that animal could sound like that.
Yeah.
And you know, it could easily be, you know, taken up as a humanistic type weird screaming sound of help. But quite often it can be logically explained, but there are times where it can't be logically explained. So without knowing more about their setting and all that, it's hard to say, but still very frightening. Nonetheless, it's interesting how terms like that end up being passed down from generation to generation, of different ethnicities, and of different heritages, where, at a certain point, nobody even knows what the hell the words mean, but they've heard them brought up over their lifetime.
Yeah.
And it just keeps being said. And then like, you know, four or five generations, then you're like, I don't even know what the hell a banshee is, but I'm telling my kids not to scream like a banshee,
uh-huh.
you know, and but because you heard it and because they heard it and they heard it before them, it just keeps going. And it's like we could make up a word now or start making some weird comparison. And if we said it frequently enough, our kids would say it to their kids. And eventually they'd be like, what the hell is that? Oh, it's some weird thing that dad made up, 100 years ago.
Well, both my parents have said it, and I have Irish on both sides.
Yeah.
And I always just attributed it to being like some Southern thing, you mm-hmm. know, they say all kinds of stuff,
yeah.
you know. I didn't have any idea. So anyway.
The more you know.
Do, 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 do.
Our next, or the continuation here of the story that goes into more of their experiences. It says, this story happened to my older brother. My brother says he does not believe in ghosts, but he told me the story one day that I could tell made him question himself. He and his girlfriend at the time were looking at several houses to buy that day. They found one that really matched where they were looking for a great price. On the way home, they both started talking about how that house did not feel right. Her 4-year-old daughter that had gone with him asked with a blank look on her eyes, "Is that the house with the other mommy?" When he told me this, he was really shaken. He said it freaked us both out. He still says he does not believe in ghosts, but he'll always remember the look of fear on his face when he told me that story. I hope her daughter does not have a scary memory from it. Thanks for reading, Jennifer. The house with the other mommy. So does that mean like a ghost, like caretaker, ghost mommy, ghost nanny or something?
Something like that. At least she referred to it as a mommy and not a scary lady.
Yeah.
So that's promising. That means her experience with the ghost was mm-hmm. not so terrifying that she referred to it as another mommy.
It's like what you'd want to, you know, when you see the ghostly apparition on your baby monitor, as we all have seen that. And then the child gets lifted up into the air by an unseen force. Sometimes you just got to say, it's okay. They'll have a positive experience and you just let it go.
No. And you can't just sleep through it and say, other mommy's got it. It's other mommy's night to feed. No, that's not how that works. I'm just saying.
Can't work like that?
No, I'm just saying I'm glad this little 4-year-old didn't have such a bad experience that she was terrified that she just referred to it as other mommy.
Okay.
So that's good.
I think you're right. But I also think at the same point, sometimes you just got to let the ghosts do their things.
I can't tell you how many times I wish there was other mommy around here. So.
Other mommy? Say it 3 times and maybe.
No, it's not like Beetlejuice. It's not going to suddenly appear.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We tried watching Beetlejuice the other day with the children.
I was thoroughly enjoying it. And then the girls were like, this is weird. I don't like it. It's like, I kind of want to go back and finish it.
It was a weird movie.
I want to finish it. I did not remember the whole them learning how to be ghosts aspect as far as Gina Davis and yeah. Alec Baldwin. I did not remember that. I just remember the Michael Keaton being super nasty and lewd and mm-hmm. gross. And he really did a good job in that movie.
I didn't remember Alec Baldwin being in the movie, honestly.
No.
Because he looks so different today. But it's one of the... I remember seeing it when I was a kid, like going, watching it and kind of liking it. Like, I'm going to watch that again, but like... I think it was more so because it's like, you know, you're rotating 5 VHS tapes of other things to watch. And that was one on one of them. And I don't know. It wasn't ever a movie I really got into, but I remember watching it somewhat frequently.
I want to watch it again because we didn't even get to the dinner party scene.
That was a good. Yeah. I was surprised. What I didn't remember is how damn long it took for Beetlejuice to appear into the movie.
Yeah.
As a main character. I mean, he shows up like in that commercial at the beginning, or, you know, somewhat at the beginning, but it takes almost like an hour mm-hmm. for Beetlejuice to even show up in his own damn movie. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I thought I had read something recently that they were going to do a remake of or a reboot of Beetlejuice or I don't know if it's a reboot or like a continuation. I don't know how you do a continuation, but I don't remember how it even ended. But
I don't know. But if the girls had been into it, I would have been happy to finish.
Sure. It was so popular at the time, it ended up becoming a Saturday morning cartoon. Do you remember the Beetlejuice? It really had a there was toys, mm-hmm. all sorts of stuff with that. It's interesting. For being, I don't know that it would, I don't know. You think, you look at some of the toys that are out there today, there's like those zombie girl dolls.
Monster High dolls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think it's that far off of a stretch to see a Beetlejuice remake work.
Yeah.
It would just probably have to be modernized enough to keep their attention. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. It says, at the time, my family lived in a 5-year-old house that we purchased from a young family. It was daytime and my husband was at the office and my toddler son and I were at home. I had my own business, and my office was across the hall from my son's bedroom. My kitchen had a wall that separated the kitchen from the family room. Half of the length of this wall was bar height with a bar top. The other half reached 8 feet. I was standing at the bar height area by the kitchen sink, slicing vegetables. My son was napping down the hall in his room, and something triggered me to look up from the cutting board, and I saw something that was approximately 5 feet tall, moving quickly from left to right. It was not exactly solid-looking, but not transparent either. The oddest thing about this thing that I saw was that it reminded me of raindrops on a window pane before they were wet the entire pane and run together. However, the drops were not running vertically as raindrops would, but horizontally as if the skin, and I use that term loosely, was also moving from left to right. Light and dark gray horizontal drop lines are blurring together. I saw this thing from the area where our ear would be. In back, so half of the head and the portion of the shoulder and back, no hair, no clothing, just fast-moving thing. I could not see anything below the bar top, so I do not know what this thing looked like from the waist down. What struck me at the moment is that I don't think it intended for me to see it as it was moving quickly and did not interact with me once I viewed it, but kept moving from left to right, which meant it would have either ran through a large piece of furniture I had placed on the full ceiling height wall or had quickly run in front of it. Whatever it was, a blast of intense fear raced through my entire body before my brain could even compute what I saw. I stood frozen for a moment, then ran around the corner only to see nothing. It was gone. I then ran down the hall to check on my son. Nothing was there. My son and I were alone in the house. Whatever I saw had disappeared completely. The next day, I was walking down the hallway to my son's room and felt someone behind me. The same feeling you have when someone walks up quietly behind you and you feel their presence even before you see them. I turned quickly. No one was there, and I saw nothing. I then stated out loud, like a crazy person, that whatever you are not welcome in my house, and do not come back. I never saw the thing again. We did have our house for sale at the time and relocated to another city. I told my husband what I had seen when he arrived home that day. He looked at me at first like I was crazy, but I described the thing in detail. He said, "You really did see something." I've been questioning what this thing was forever, and when I reflect, I still have no clue as to what it was. My memory of that day is the intense fear and adrenaline rush that I felt. I never felt fear like that before or since. I was not unhappy when our house was sold. Maybe a listener has a clue as to what it was I saw. I've had premonitions most of my adult life, but have never seen anything like this prior to or since this occurrence.
So it was almost like a cross between a ghost and just energy.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing it, you know, basically just the ripples of energy move.
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy because most of the time you see one or the other, or you see like the TV static.
Mm-hmm.
But this almost sounds like almost like a heat wave effect.
Like almost like what you'd see on an infrared, but you're not watching an infrared camera.
Right.
It's like your vision is picking up this. Mm-hmm. This wave. Very interesting. And also what I find interesting, and it's another prime example of sometimes the simplest approach to dealing with a haunting, the better. And that's what they did. Please don't come back. And she says, you know, talking like a crazy person, not so crazy when it works.
It works.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it works for everything, but it seems to work more times than not in many cases. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next story. Let's go to talking about our weird coincidence. This is bizarre full circle horse story.
Yes.
You want me to tell it and you interject as need be?
Yes.
Okay. So we've talked about it on the air, I think a little bit, that we've gotten, we've moved to a farm here during the pandemic and have kind of started doing the homesteading thing, actually full force doing the homesteading thing.
Which we always wanted to do.
Yeah.
The pandemic was the, you know,
kind of the catalyst,
the push we needed.
Yeah. So we, one of the first animals that we got, we were really excited when we first got here. And of course, you know, you got some land and it's the first time we had some land. And one of the first things we wanted to do was to get a horse. And in our excitement and lack of knowledge of the horse world, we ended up getting a horse that we ended up paying too much for, ended up being much more ill than we were aware of. And we didn't give up on it. We sat there for, you know, the last many a months, getting this thing healthy and getting it back up to a healthy weight. And it's a really friendly horse. And the name that we gave it, because the people who were selling it to us didn't really seem to know a name, we named it Spirit.
Because it's a buckskin. It looks like the cartoon Spirit. Yeah. And this was supposed to be Harper's horse.
Yeah. And what we didn't know is that when you have an underweight horse, which it was when we got it, many times they're extremely docile. And so when they told it to us, and our lack of knowledge in that horse world, we thought, oh, great, this will be a good riding horse for Harper. Turns out when you get this specific horse healthy, it doesn't like that very much. And there's also a whole bunch of other issues that we came to discover, and I'll get to that in a moment.
Well, it's not that it doesn't like that, mm-hmm. but it can completely change their personality once you get them healthy again. Then it's like when you have a kid that misbehaves all the time, but then when they're sick, they're a little angel, and all they want to do is cuddle and watch movies with mommy, but then the rest of the time, they're devil child.
And it was awkward cuddling and watching movies with the horse, but we did it.
No. It's just, that's my comparison. Sure. It was like that. She was very docile, very sweet. And then once she got weight on her and got her back up to a healthy weight, she changed into more of a wild horse. You know, she'll charge at you and she'll do all kinds of things, and she's just not safe. And she's beyond our, you know, our ability to get her fixed up as far as, you know,
our skills. We're not horse trainers. So, you know, we consider the options of, okay, what can we do? You know, can we get her trained? And we were looking at that a little bit. You know, we're not going to sell her to somebody that, you know, would want someone to ride, because she's clearly not rideable right now. She threw you off the other day when we were attempting that.
Yeah. And we, go ahead.
And so we were weighing all the options, and we were kind of just down to, like, okay, if somebody wants a pasture horse or a companion horse or a lawn ornament, as they call it, you know, that it'd be perfect, you know, for this horse, because it can just graze. It's fairly friendly, really doesn't seem to want to be ridden. If somebody has the experience to get it broken again for riding, that might be an option. But we posted the picture online and then started to get some inquiries, not looking to really recoup our money, but more so just find a appropriate home for the horse. That was our goal.
Yes.
So we got a couple inquiries. One was a nice woman who said, hey, we're just looking for a companion for my horse out in this pasture. You know, will you take X amount? You know, it was a fraction of what we paid, but we're like, fine, that, you know, I think that would be a good home. And then you got a message yesterday from someone saying, I know that horse, and I've been searching for this specific horse for years. And this is where the story gets interesting.
And I have learned over our year of living in Arkansas that there are a lot of people in the horse world here that cannot be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
So my first initial reaction was eye roll. Yeah, right. Okay, let's hear this. This will be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I call her and she says, I know your horse. I know this is going to sound insane, but that is Fancy. That is the horse that belonged to my best friend who died of cancer 3 years ago. And I have been searching for this horse ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the best friend had sold the horse to help cover some of the cost of her cancer medications.
Mm-hmm.
Sold it to a horse trader, which they're a dime a dozen down here. And so the horse was gone. She knew that the lady that contacted me, her friend knew that she couldn't sell it to her friend because of the money. So she sold it to somebody who could buy it anyway. Yeah. And the lady that contacted me, I don't know what to call her. Should we just say Rose?
Sure.
Okay. So Rose contacted me and said, I've been searching for this horse and my friend has died. And I've been searching for this horse the whole time because she sold it to a horrible horse trader. And I just have always wondered what happened to her. And she has the ability to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, this is a good story. So I said, okay, tell me about my horse, you know?
Yeah, just to prove that it's not just somebody making up a tall tale to get a horse for cheap.
Yeah, or to just pull on my heartstrings because I'm a sucker. And I don't know how everybody in the world knows that I'm a sucker, but I'm a sucker. Anyway. And so she started telling me why this horse can't be ridden.
Mm-hmm.
And the accident that it had been through and how it got its blind eye. And the picture we posted did not show her feet. She described, you know, that she had two white feet, two black feet. I said, okay. I still wasn't convinced. So I said, Harper, our daughter, this is her horse. Harper has freckles. And she likes that her horse has freckles.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me where the horse's freckles are. And she told me exactly where the horse's freckles were. And she told me about how the back injury was. She says you can ride it bareback, but you can't put a saddle on it and ride it for more than 15 minutes or it'll buck you off because of her back injury.
Which is true.
And she said if you run your hand down her spine when you get to her hips, she'll arch her back because it hurts. And that's why she doesn't wag her tail,
mm-hmm.
which is true. She doesn't swat flies even with her tail.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that this woman said, there's no way she would have known it from the ad.
Yeah.
And the picture that we posted did not show the freckles that...
There wasn't the detail enough for her to pull it.
No. So I believe her. I believe her. And she knew the... She said, you must have bought it from this area. And the name of the horse trader that had originally bought the horse... was the name that I recognized that sold it to the horse trader that I bought it from, which I did not realize was a horse trader. I thought I was buying it from a retired sheriff and his daughter.
Which was complete bullshit, but...
So, anyway. So, I have this lady's passed away best friend's horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she's meant to go home.
Mm-hmm.
That this lady, Rose, knows this horse. And, she knew too much for it to not have been a legit deal.
Sure.
You know, she knew things about this horse that nobody would have known but us,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless they had had knowledge of the horse in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So
we decided after talking about it and like just really, you know, because we didn't want to be had or anything like that. But
again,
but it was like the story checks out. And after doing research, like this is the lady, this horse would be better off over there. So she's going to shortly in like about an hour from now, be taking the horse and the horse is going to go live over there. It makes more sense that it goes there. She can be taken care of. And then we can here focus on, you know, now that we know this world a little bit better, getting a horse that will work for our daughters and all of that and not have one that's going to be a risk or one that just simply can't be ridden. So that's is the end to the story. And it's a happy ending. She's going back to, one of her original, not the owner, but the best friend. I'm sure, you know.
Well, they used to go on trail rides together.
So she knows her.
She knows this horse. Yeah. And she said, when I get there, this horse is going to smell me and is going to know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I have no doubt that that's the way it'll go. And when I went out there and I said, Fancy, which is the horse's real name, mm-hmm. she perked up. Like, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So do not play the song. It's been stuck in my head since last night. Do not do this.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Tony, stop.
Why is it playing out of the computer speakers? I don't know. I was trying to
don't do that. Anyway, so that is our horse story. And I just.
Full circle of this woman trying to find this horse. We ended up with the horse. It doesn't work for us and what we're wanting. And it was a horse that otherwise would be looked at probably as, you know, not useful to many. Or anyone and could very easily end up, you know,
in a kill pen.
Yeah. And we would not want that and we would not sell it or give it to someone like for that purpose. But I can't think of a better ending for
this
horse.
There was a teenage girl that contacted us that wanted to buy it. And I was like, who's going to break this horse? And she said she was. I was like, no, I can't sell you this horse. I'm sorry. It's too much of a danger for you.
Yeah.
And you know, that pissed her off. But it's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to put somebody in danger, but I feel like this is where that horse is meant to be.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think we found, we couldn't have found, and they couldn't have, this just worked out too weird to be just a coincidence.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion. So there you go. That's our paranormal horse story. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. And EPP, as we call them, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to support the program and keep us on the air. We have another personal ghost story in tomorrow's episode, and it was caught on camera, too. So be sure to check out that tomorrow. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.